Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. I need to pour some water. Thank you. I'm Andrea Dworkin, and I'm very, very honored to be here. I'm very pleased to be speaking here in this company. And I'm very happy that we're addressing this question on an international level. I think we need to ask ourselves the question, why men love prostitution so much? And the fact of the matter is that despite the rhetoric of men on the right and men on the left, they love prostitution a lot. The global proportions of the trafficking in women indicate that men like to buy and sell women, and that there's a special kick in sex when you can pay somebody and use money as a symbol of their servitude, not as an agent of their independence, but as a symbol of their servitude. I think that what we're dealing with prostitution in all of its forms, is the most basic kind of power there is. It's a core definition of power, and that is, I want it, you do it. I want it now, you do it now. Bend over. And when someone has that kind of power, that's the same kind of power that kings had in feudal societies. And now it's the power of every man over every woman because of these systems of trafficking in women that exist all over the world. There is clearly a sexual pleasure in destroying human dignity. There is a sexual pleasure in repeated impersonal invasions of a person's body, and you don't know the name of the person and you don't care. And she's there because she has to be. I think that prostitution is really the heartbeat of male supremacy. If you think about it, it goes on day in, day out, all the time. It's the beating heart day and night everywhere. It's on street corners all over the world, in brothels all over the world, and in photographs all over the world. The conditions of women in prostitution, think of where the women are. On street corners, brothels are like cages for women who are badly treated animals. And the photograph makes the woman dead. She's two-dimensional. There's nothing human left of her. The institution has meaning for women on every level. It's an institution of male dominance. All of its meaning comes from male dominance. It's not about us as human beings. The point is that we have no humanity within this system of oppression. Inside this system of male dominance, women are dirt. And one of the points of prostitution is that women are dirty. Our genitals are dirty. Our insides are dirty. And men, as they use us over and over and over and over and over again, make us dirty. And part of the pleasure is in the sexual experience of women being dirty. First, there's the utility value of prostitution. She's there and he gets to use her. And then there's the romance. He's brave. He's an adventurer. He goes out into those mean streets and deals with the devil, and she's the devil. And the fact that somebody had to beat her up, rape her, sell her into slavery, and put her there in the first place doesn't mean to him that he's not the biggest, bravest, baddest man in the world when he buys a woman. In prostitution, there's a lot of the same elements that there are in gang rape, for men, which is to say that there's a kind of sexual congress with other men through the vehicle of the woman's body. And what we see in prostitution is that humiliation in and of itself is a form of sexual pleasure for men. Walking on someone, using boots or using your penis, is a form of sexual pleasure for men. And that's institutionalized in prostitution. I think that we make a terrible mistake whenever we talk about prostitution or prostitutes outside of talking about male dominance, because neither exists outside of male dominance. And in the egalitarian world that we want to create, neither would exist. Prostitution is trafficking in women for profit. All right, what it isn't is fun, a form of sexual liberation, a good time, a counterculture indulgence, just another form of work. It's organized profiteering for money in human beings. It is a slave trafficking. The way in which it's organized is that it is organized sadism. The pimps control women and manipulate men. They're master manipulators of men, which doesn't turn men into the victims of this particular institution. The women are there to have done to them whatever men want to do. The prostitute herself doesn't exist outside the conditions that create her. All right, and here's where we come to all this political confusion, where many women want to tell us that by talking about prostitution in this way, we are taking away the prostitute's human dignity. Prostitution takes away the prostitute's human dignity. In trying to talk about prostitution, we do not. Politically, it's very simple. Material conditions create what the prostitute is. All right? Everybody's a human being. We know that, but they don't. Lots of people don't know that. When we look at prostitution, we are looking at an institution in which a group of people are held captive. And those people are gotten there in various ways, and those ways are clear and easy to understand. Many of the women are victims of incest. Many of the women are prostituted by their fathers or by other members of their family, sold into prostitution or sold into pornography, used as children. Poverty is a political issue even when it happens to women. Women are in prostitution because we are poor, because we get hungry, because we get cold. Women are in prostitution because of force, because somebody takes us and makes us be there. Sometimes through causing us physical pain, through rape. Women are in prostitution because women have second-class status. And when you start out being an incest victim and being poor and having been raped by a pimp, then your second-class status means that there's a lid on you to begin with, and somebody's feet have ground you down to the ground. The most essential precondition for ending up in prostitution is that you are the daughter of a woman. You are the daughter of a woman who is the daughter of a woman who is the daughter of a woman. That is the first condition. The woman who is a prostitute has a human life. We don't get to see that human life when we are outside prostitution, because men create the creature called the prostitute. And she is a caricature of sexuality as they insist it be. And this person who has been made into this creature, who is this caricature of a human being, has to do two things. She has to submit and she has to survive. And in prostitution, submission and survival are synonymous. And survival is in doing what is necessary, whatever it is. And you survive better if you look like you like it. And you survive better if you please the pimp, because then maybe he won't hurt you as much. And you survive better if you please the John, you will get by better. And you survive better if you can avoid pain instead of incurring it. It's called provoking it when a woman does it. And you will survive better if you can avoid punishment. And survival in prostitution means going dead inside as best you can, dying as best you can. And if you can manage, as most prostitutes do, to split yourself into two parts, so that your head and your heart aren't where your body is, then you're going to live longer and survive better. And if you can manage to be the toughest bitch in the world and convince everyone around you that you like it and there's no place on earth that you would rather be, then you maybe even be elected queen of the day. And part of survival is that you feel a superiority to the Johns. You think you're the one that's calling all the numbers and playing all the games. You think you're in control. You have to. Because if we don't have human dignity, we create it for ourselves. And part of human dignity is in saying, they come to me and I'm in control. It's not true, but you need it. Part of human dignity and part of survival is in outlasting them, just lasting longer than they last. Part of human dignity and survival is in getting rid of them, finally, getting them out the door. And then the one thing that can pass as a reward is taking their money, which most women don't get to keep. What it takes to create the woman who appears that she wants it is incest, poverty, rape, force, and pain. That's what it takes. And that's what happens to women. And we have what passes as human dignity for women who are trying to survive as active prostitutes. And that is a pride in being used. In the United States, we see the pornographers especially exploiting this pride in being used, so that we have women coming and telling us that they like what they're doing, that what they're doing is meaningful to them, and there's nothing else in the world that they would rather do. But human dignity is something else. It's not a pride in being exploited. It's a resistance inside that does not die no matter what circumstance you are in, including when you are bent over and he is fucking you in the ass and inside you are saying, no, no, somewhere there's a no. Doesn't matter what you are doing, somewhere inside you there is a no. There is a voice that says, I don't want to be here. I want to be somewhere else. There's a voice that says, I'm not this woman. Even there's a voice that says, this is not happening to me. Even that is a form of resistance. And there is a voice inside that says, I'm lying. This is not the truth. Now, you don't want anyone to know that that's what the voice inside is saying. But as long as it's there, something in you is still alive. You see, acts of resistance in women who are in prostitution, they're very brave. They especially have to do with kindness to other women in prostitution. They have to do with helping other women to escape. They have to do with trying to keep other women out of prostitution. They have to do with the lengths that women in prostitution go to keep their children out of prostitution. Those are all forms of resistance that are valuable and important and political. The most important thing that one can do is to use what one knows. And the woman who is or has been a prostitute knows the deep, dirty secrets of male supremacy. She knows them all. Now, pornography is one form of prostitution for the women in it. And what pornography means in terms of prostitution is that a pimp can use technology to sell a woman over and over and over and over and over again. He can sell her millions and billions of times instead of however many times he can do just in the agrarian 19th century sense of turning her out on the street. And then what happens with the pornography has to do with its effect on all the women who are used by the men who use the pornography. The pornography convinces men sexually that all women are the women in pornography, that that's what women are, that that's what women are for, that the sexual pleasure of women is to be found in abject humiliation. Pornography is the great leveler for women. It is a degraded form of democracy. All women are things. All women want to be hurt. All women want to be used and violated. And the circle is complete. Because the women on whom pornography is used are treated the same way that the women in the pornography are treated. Pass them around, turn them out, share them with your friends, do anything to them you want to do. And what this means is that the wife and the sweetheart and the girlfriend also know all the deep, dirty secrets of male supremacy. Now, what is it that keeps people who have been violated this way alive? Sometimes it's hate. Just hate. Don't despise hate. It can keep a person going a long time. And people who have been hurt have got a right to a certain amount of it. It's a dead end, it's a trap, but understand that it's part of surviving. It's a bridge to the future. Hating the person who hurts you is important. Sometimes it's anger. Women don't like being angry. Women are afraid of anger, and we will hurt ourselves rather than be angry with those who are hurting us. But sometimes it's anger that keeps a woman alive. Sometimes it's dumb luck. You don't know why the hell it's you and why it's not somebody else. And there you are, and they're dead, and you're not. And most women who survive because of dumb luck feel a certain obligation to the women who didn't. And sometimes it's faith, sometimes it's religious faith, or hope, or some shred of self-respect that cannot be killed, and I don't know why it can't be killed. I only have seen over and over and over and over again that it cannot be killed. No pimp can do it, no rapist can do it, no one can do it. And with the overwhelming reality of what trafficking in women is, there is another reality that is not overwhelming. It's very fragile, but it's true. And that is that you cannot stop people from fighting for justice. All right? If you could, we would have stopped. It would be over. Women who have been prostituted or raped, women who have been bought and sold and traded and shared and taken and forced have fought back. Now, sometimes they fought back by killing someone who hurt them. We do not show those women enough respect. We have seen, at least in this country, a phenomenon where women who have been hurt have hired other people to kill the men who have hurt them. This is a kind of odd mixture of, he's got to be dead, I've got to have him off the earth before I can be safe, but I'm nonviolent. Okay? I won't do violence. I can't do it. I can't do it. But somebody's got to do it. It's got to be done. All right? And those women need our support, because they go to jail. Okay? And we have seen women organizing rescue and organizing resistance and fighting back and trying to force the state to actually acknowledge our existence as human beings. Now, today you're going to hear women who have survived and who have resisted sexual atrocity. They speak for millions of women who are still imprisoned in silence and in submission. Millions of women who are still being sold and bought and raped and used. And whatever they tell you today will only be a little bit. They can only tell you a little bit of what it's like. Because what they lived through went on day after day, and hour after hour, and minute after minute, and second after second, for 24 hours a day, for a long time, and time goes very slowly when you're being prostituted or when you're being force-fucked, all right? It goes slowly. Now, memory is sometimes an anguish, and women who have been hurt in these ways can't forget. The only thing that they can do is to use what they remember. And that's something that we can all do. We can use what we remember. But then we have to have the courage to remember. We have to have the courage not to blot out the sexual abuse, but to actually mine it for the knowledge that we can get from it. I hope that you will listen to the women who are speaking today with empathy, with respect, and with a sense of honor. And what I mean by that is that they are coming here to tell you things that hurt. Things that one doesn't share with people one doesn't know. It is a great act of political courage on their part to be here. The women's movement has not been respectful of these experiences. And so I'm asking you today to listen to the women who have come to talk to you and to understand that what they're telling you is not only the truth, but it may be the most important truth that you will ever hear. Thank you.